You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
And welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto. Glad you could join us today. Our show is dedicated to helping you get the most out of your technology wherever it fits in your life. And hey, we're back on radio. It's been a couple of months and we're back on. Art Factora.
You're back.
Yeah.
So much has happened.
What's happened, Art?
Well, I can't tell you. We don't have enough time. We've got the show. We got people in the green room ready to go. I don't waste. I'll tell you after the show.
But Art Factora, you're good.
I'm well.
And now, have you tricked out the basement suite in the time that we've been gone?
Oh, I've got an iPod dock. I got an Apple TV I told you about.
Yeah.
I've got this old TV that got handed down to me that I didn't know what to do because all I could do was play DVDs on it. And I don't have any DVDs, so I went to London Drugs, actually, picked up a portable hard drive to analog connector, whatever you want to call it. And now I can download movies and watch it from this TV in my bedroom.
Okay.
It's a big TV. It's like a 36-inch screen, gigantic monster.
With no hockey to watch.
But no hockey. Yeah.
That laughter you hear in the background is Paul DeMera. Paul, how are you doing?
Doing well, Steve.
Paul's going to be joining us on a fairly regular basis from now because he's become my go-to guy for all, because he knows more about technology than I do. I fake people.
You're way too kind. I learn new things every day.
Now,
I think you just like when he brings in that LTE.
He brings in all sorts of very cool stuff. And here's what I've been doing. Lots of things, but I've just installed on my Mac. Oh, before I do that, I should tell everybody about what's coming up on the show. We're gonna be talking with Lindsay Smith about apps. We've got Rick Yeager on, and he's gonna be talking about that old things to do with your old iPad. Can you imagine calling an iPad old? But there are old iPads out there because we're into the new iPad, which is the third generation. So things to do with your old iPad. Rick's calling it this old iPad.
I could certainly use that advice.
you've got the iPad 3.
I got a
iPad.
1, a 2, a 3.
Oh, you've got, okay, well, yeah, you'll have to listen.
But good for like coasters or leveling a table?
No, you can use it for those things, but there are better uses currently for them. I don't want to spoil all of Rick's thunder. Lindsay Smith, and of course, Nikki Castengay is also going to be joining us from London Drugs, because guess what this month is? It's photo month. May
the magic
is
of photos.
Photo month.
It's also Asian Heritage Month. Just saying.
There he is.
Just saying.
Are you playing the Asian Heritage card?
I'm just saying. It's Asian Heritage Month. 31 days. And I appreciate you wearing your kimono this week, Steve. Thank you. I don't think it got past me when you walked in with that.
Well, that's just because everything else is in the laundry. Here's what I've done. The last couple of weeks, I have spent on a fixer-upper project. I've got an old iMac, a 2009 iMac, a 21-inch iMac. It's a nice iMac.
3 years old. It's not that old, but okay.
It's still pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's a 3 gigahertz processor. It's got a terabyte drive. And then I upgraded the RAM to 16 gig of RAM, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I installed this last week. I went down to Mac Station and got them to plug it in because you had to take the whole darn thing apart. But I installed an SSD, a solid-state drive, a 128-gigabyte solid-state drive that I put the operating system and all of my applications on. It took a little bit of fiddling around to make it work properly because
finagling,
of the user
yeah.
preferences.
Yep.
But now it's really fast. I don't know how else to say it. It's really fast.
It's changed your experience, I'll bet, a little bit, huh?
Well, it makes the just opening an application is kind of like opening an app now on an iPad because it's solid state. It's just there.
Zips right along.
And even things like Microsoft Word opens in 4 or 5 seconds, if you happen to use Word.
And you're never going to go back now, right?
Well, I hope not to. It's and that's the thing about whenever you speed your computer up is within a week or two, it's on suddenly just normal, right? You don't notice the speed increase.
The new normal.
But to give you an example of one of the benefits, when we've been recording the show lately, doing it in the home studio and then podcasting it, it would take about 10 minutes to render out the MP3
right.
From a 1-hour edited show in the past. It does it in about 4 minutes now.
Nice.
In the solid state drive. So it's pretty sweet. It's not a super expensive thing to do. Some computers, it's a lot better idea on. If you have a MacBook or a notebook, it's really easy, especially if it has a media drive. There's lots of kits for it. The kit didn't quite fit properly in the older iMac. The newer iMacs are a lot better as far as that goes. But it's and the drives have dropped dramatically in price.
Yeah, I've watched them over the last couple of years, and they've become super affordable now.
Yeah, the folks
still aren't as big as the drives that some people are buying, like half a terabyte or
something. No, they're not going to be large, but you don't want to store all of your data on them either. Basically, it's for your operating system and for your applications is the way to do it. And maybe any work files, like if you're doing Photoshop or if you're doing audio or video editing, you might want to have
a lot of work files. Yeah.
You might want to have the work files on it. But then once you've finished it, you should probably move it off and back them up. Kingston provided me with the SSDs. They've got, and actually we're going to be giving one away starting next week. We're not giving it away this week. We'll start this next week, but we're going to be giving away an SSD on the show. That's because guess what we're giving away this week? We've got something even, not even better, but something different this week.
I don't know.
And Art, you're going to want to enter this contest.
Yeah,
you can't
I want to enter every contest. I haven't won yet.
Slingbox Pro HD.
That comes with the Paul DeMera gold stamp of approval.
You
that
like
puppy.
The Slingbox, don't you?
I love the Slingbox. It's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to be giving away, and this is the top of the line Slingbox. This Slingbox does everything. Do you know how the Slingbox works, Art?
I kind of have an idea. I got a question. So if say my parents had cable and I didn't want to pay for cable, but they had cable and internet, could I technically hook up this Slingbox to their computer, and I can use my internet at home to watch TV?
You don't hook it up to their computer. You hook the Slingbox up to their cable box and to their internet connection.
Okay. Exactly. It depends. If you have analog, you can hook it up direct. If you have a box in between, you can control that box. But you can do exactly what you just said. You could watch television from somewhere else. It allows you to play shift.
As long as anywhere has internet,
exactly.
I could watch any channel. Like I can just change channels like I have cable.
Yep. Yeah,
any
and you cable can even, channel. You can even, if they've got the setup, you can even record on their DVD,
exactly.
On their PVR.
Holy moly!
I know, isn't that fantastic? Now,
where's the Dropbox? I'm gonna go burn all the other ballots.
They're not that expensive. It's $300. So, like for a year's worth of cable, you could have it, or you could ask for it for Christmas. You know what? I understand this is a very popular gift during Asian Heritage Month to be giving to
there
sons.
You go.
You can send any Slingbox material or donations towards my Slingbox to
your dad.
Sweet
I saw
20,
a picture of you on
11151.
I saw a picture of you and your dad on Facebook. That was a really nice picture.
It's me. I realize that
what was your dad's,
my dad is now, it's like 30 years in the future. That's what I'm going to look like.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
My dad, I started to look like my dad. And when he passed away, he was like 4 or 5 inches shorter than I remember him. Because you start that whole
shrinking
shrinking process.
It's been happening to me for years.
But yes, and you're still over, what are you, still 6'2", 6'3"?
I was 6'5"-ish when I was younger. I'm probably 6'4 and change now. Half an inch or something.
Sucks being DeMera.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
Drop by the website. Slingbox, enter there to win the Slingbox. We said the contest ends May 2nd today, but I'm going to leave it on for a day because we haven't been on radio for a couple of weeks. So I'm gonna extend it to Friday.
Chance, yeah.
We're going to give people a chance to enter it.
Dottotech.com.
Magical.
Dottotech.com is the place.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or a question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Rick Yeager joins me online now. He is my everything Macintosh expert. How are you doing, Rick?
Pretty good. How's it going over there?
It's going pretty good over here. I've been having lots of fun with SSDs. Installing a solid state drive in my iMac. It is all the rage. And
it's causing rage.
Well, I've talked about it a bit on the show already. It caused me a little bit of consternation in the initial setup, but now it's an amazing, it makes your Mac very fast.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and you've got one on your little guy, don't you?
Yeah, on the MacBook Air. It's amazingly cool and
you know, the problem is that you get very used to the speed very quickly and then it doesn't seem fast anymore.
It spoils you for
and then you
the
go
speed.
On somebody that's got an old hard disk and their machine, and you go, "What is the matter with this piece of junk?
And why is it so loud? What's that spinning noise?
Was somebody grinding?" Okay, so you sent me a note saying this is what we're going to call this segment, this old iPad, and I'm shaking my head. I hope you're talking about iPad 1s.
iPad 1s, but, I mean, even for me, I got the, well, it's not the iPad 3, it's the new iPad, whatever. The iPad 3, yeah. I had an iPad 2 now that I wasn't going to use, and what do I do with it?
Okay.
In my case, I give it to my fiance because I want to, you know, stay in her good books.
Did you get yourself an iPad 3, a new iPad, and give her your old one?
I did.
You're saying that? See, that is, that's wrong.
That's wrong?
I you know, it's a hand-me-down. It's, you know, like, it's, this isn't good enough for me anymore, but it's good enough for you, honey.
Don't, okay, I'm not letting her listen to this.
Now you're thinking about it differently, aren't you?
Yeah, okay. Well, next time I'll talk to you first.
Instead, give it to your kids. Well, you don't have any kids. Give it to somebody's
kids. I don't have any
kids. Okay, so this old iPad, so handing them down. I'm still running on my iPad 2. I haven't
gone
to the new
one. iPad 2 is great.
It's fine. But I made a mistake and looked at the screen in the new one, and now I just... Mm. It doesn't have quite the same luster anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even when the iPhone 4 came out with the Retina display, and then you look back at your, at the time, iPad 1, it's like,
yeah,
wow,
tell you,
look at those pixels.
I tell you, Apple users aren't going to want to hear this, but I was hanging with some people that had one of the Samsung Galaxy Notes, the new, the big, with the AMOLED screen.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, my iPhone screen doesn't look that good anymore.
Really?
Oh.
Okay.
If you see somebody with a Samsung Note, ask them to look at the screen. Well, you might not want to, because it's it's just gorgeous.
Okay, I'm gonna have to have a look.
Yeah, there's some, it just, I just went, wow, that is a one nice screen. Yeah, yeah, and not that the you know, not that the it's the iPhone screen is anything to sneer at, but
no.
It's not as nice as those AMOLED screens. Nope.
I'm gonna have a look.
Okay, so what do you do with an old iPad?
Well, this is my question. I'm going to come up with a few possible answers.
Okay.
The first thought I had was, well, in being the app man, I've found a lot of clock apps. I'm not sure why this is the first app that every developer seems to make, but they make a clock app. So I was thinking that if I'm going to devote my iPad to a single job in my house.
Oh.
What would that job be? I wouldn't want it to just be a clock, but what if it was my kind of nightstand companion? There's actually an app called Nightstand Central.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not only a clock and an alarm clock, but it also has the weather in there. So it tells you what the weather is like going to be like today so that you can dress appropriately. And I kind of went from there and thought, well, okay, that's getting me up in the morning, but there are other apps like Pizzizz. Are you familiar with Pizzizz?
No, what is Pizzizz? How do you spell it?
It's P-Z-I-Z-Z.
Pizzizz. Are you sure you pronounced it right, Rick?
No.
I don't think so. I think it could be Fizzizz.
Yeah, it's an interesting app to categorize. It's kind of a lullaby. It kind of hypnotizes you to sleep. It uses a technology called neuro-linguistic programming to help you to relax and get a really deep sleep. And there's this voice with an accent I can't quite place that talks to you very peacefully.
Now, this I like. See, I used to go to, for a short period of time, because I'm the least flexible person in the world, I went to yoga.
Oh, yeah.
And I went with my partner, and she would always be terrified going to the yoga class with me, because at the end of yoga, they have nap time. I don't know if you know this.
No, I didn't know this.
You get to lie, and you're supposed to be, I don't know, meditating. Well, for, as far as I'm concerned, nap time. And so you're lying there, you're nicely stretched and a little bit tired in a darkened room with this nice voice talking away. So what do I do? I go to sleep. And what happens when I go to sleep is I snore, which embarrasses the heck out of her, which is a lot better than the actual during the yoga stretching when some of the people, I'm not saying who, fart.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So the snoring, I don't find at all offensive.
A little too relaxed.
Yeah, yeah. So at any rate, so this is an app called Fziz, which helps us sleep. Now, is it for nighttime sleeping? Because I'm reading their website and it says like for a power nap, 20 minutes.
It also does the power nap. There's two apps for iOS. One is an Energizer nap. And the other one is an actual sleep.
So it doesn't let you nap too long, because the problem with napping is if you do the 20 minutes, you're okay. If you go 35 minutes, it's too late. You're done.
You're groggy. You're out of sorts for the rest of the day, and you can't sleep when you need to sleep. So that's I've used that in the past, and it's really helped me. I would have my laptop on my nightstand, and now I can have an iPad 1 doing the same job. There's also an application called Sleep Cycle. If you really want to get maybe not deep into sleep, but deep into how you're sleeping, Sleep Cycle, use the accelerometer in the iPad or your iPhone if you want to use that. It's probably, in this case, it would actually be better with the iPhone because it's not going to take up your whole bed. but you set it on the edge of the bed and it monitors your movement. And it'll graph out for you to see in the morning exactly how deeply you slept and when you slept the most deeply.
Now, I did that. I actually wore a sleep watch that mapped my sleep cycles, which was really an interesting process. London Drugs does them.
Oh, yeah.
And you go through this sleep clinic, and it maps, and their basic advice to you is to get to a consistent bedtime, is the bottom line, is when we fall asleep, we stay up too late. We don't get enough sleep, so it's going to bed too late is typically the problem. But it was very interesting. Now, there is an app I'll have to look up, which is similar, and it's an alarm clock app that makes sure that you're not in deep REM sleep.
That's this.
Oh, when it wakes up, so it wakes you up within a window.
It you tell it when is too early, when is too late, and somewhere in between there, it'll just find a good time. It'll just check in on you and say, okay, he's not very deeply sleeping right now.
This will be a gentle wake up. So you don't have that crawling out of a hole wake up, which is, it's a recipe for a bad day.
Yeah. Especially if you have that kind of alarm. It just adds to the whole.
So you can use, now, if you use this in conjunction with Fziz, you can't, because the Mac is not multitasking or the iPad's not multitasking. So you got to choose either falling asleep comfortably or waking up well. You need two iPads.
You do.
Or an iPad and an iPhone. Okay.
Good enough.
So, but it has to be on your bed because it's measuring your movement.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That is a bit weird, and I think that would probably be a deal breaker for
a lot of people.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's cool. What other? So basically, you're looking at this old iPad being recycled as your clock radio.
As my souped up modern clock radio.
Okay. Do you have any other apps that fit in other than your clock app?
No.
Okay. I'll throw one out then. I'm gonna give you a bonus.
Awesome.
TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio. What does that do?
TuneIn Radio is a radio app that allows you to tune into any radio station anywhere in the world, I think, certainly within North America, and listen to the AM or I think FM feed. I use it for listening to sports. But I can tune in, and it streams through. It's free. It's a beautiful streaming app. Works just brilliantly. It takes it off your Wi-Fi. And I use it on my iPhone all the time with headphones on if I want to listen to the post-game show while I'm doing dishes or something like that, or doing some housework. So TuneIn Radio, because if you've got a clock radio, you need the radio side. I mean, you can certainly listen to your iTunes and stuff. And the other thing is to probably think about a stand for your iPad, your old
for
iPad.
For sure.
Then. And also to have, to use AirPlay. So that you're going
fun.
To a nice clock radio, a nice speaker system. So you're not using I'm sure that the Fziz guys would appreciate coming through better quality speakers than the tiny little iPad speaker.
For sure.
And although I guess some of the docks have speakers built in as well, if it's sitting in a dock.
Oh yeah. Well, if some of the docks even just negate the need for the clock app entirely because
they have a clock.
Exactly. They're called radios in and of themselves.
What now what's the price of a used iPad, an older iPad now? What are they selling for?
If you go onto Apple's own website and get a refurbished one, you can get like the top of the line old iPad for, you know, six and change.
That's so pretty expensive.
It's still pretty expensive. They've kept their value, or at least Apple has kept their value up.
But can't you get like old 16 gig iPad ones for like $200 or $300? Like Craigslist?
I would think you could find them.
It's still a fairly expensive clock radio, but what's a good night's sleep worth to you?
Exactly. Come on.
And if you've got one sitting around, I think it's better recycling it than handing it down to the significant other.
Okay, you're just going to rub that in between every segment now.
Well, you know, you're new in relationships. I am there. I've been there. And I know where some of the pitfalls are. You can consider me to be Steve Dotto, relationship counselor.
Okay. Works for me.
Well, you know what? Actually, you can probably do better than me. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't want to take that responsibility on. You do what you think best, Rick.
Okay.
Rick Yeager. Oh, is there anything else?
Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch more.
Oh, okay. Well, let's keep going then.
Okay. You can also use it as a media remote.
Oh, yes. That's a big media remote, though.
It's a very big media remote. And if you invest in the Griffin Beacon...
Okay.
The Griffin Beacon uses Bluetooth to connect to your iPad or iPhone or other iOS device.
Uh-huh.
And then it is...
It converts it to RF.
It converts it to IR.
IR,
IR. And the app that it runs on the iOS device not only serves as the universal remote, but if you tell it your cable provider... It'll give you the listings, and it'll tell you what's on in your area so that you can pick and choose before you change the channel. It's a lot like those Logitech Harmony remotes, where you can teach it activities. Cool. So you can say, I'm going to watch DVD. So it turns on the appropriate components and gets you ready to watch. It's a very cool device. I just got a review unit last week, and I've been playing around with it. The one thing that I still don't use it for is when I turn on a channel that's way too loud, I still instinctive for the the one remote that will hit mute now before the neighbors call the police.
Okay, how much does the Griffin Beacon cost?
It's about $70.
Oh, so it's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
It's a lot cheaper than the and if it programs easily, then I do like the Logitech Universal Remotes, but I do find them, because they're state based, in other words, mm-hmm. on off based, they can be a little bit challenging. I imagine this is the same. I imagine this works based on states. It is.
And I do find that the Logitech is a bit better at knowing that you were just listening to music. So now that we're going to watch a DVD, I don't need to turn on the AV receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't quite made that jump to leaving components on when they're already on.
Okay.
So in that way, I'm waiting for a software update is basically the way it goes. I mean, that's all it would take to fix this.
Okay.
So media remote, there's also a company called Control 4 that can come in and install all kinds of home automation gizmos into your house, and those can be controlled by your iPad.
Mm. Okay.
So they can control your home theater, they can control your music, but they can also control your fireplace and your ceiling fan and your lights and your curtains and everything else, your security system, your security cameras if you have those. And I figure if you have the kind of money to sink into your house to this degree, you have security cameras.
Okay.
And lastly, there are a whole bunch of celebrity chefs out there that have really great iOS apps. Jamie Oliver, Gordon Ramsay, Anna Olsen, Martha Stewart, and there's another app called How to Cook Everything. So okay. If you get any of those on your iPad 1, and get one of these chef stands that mm-hmm. have the protective covering, your iPad can then become the kitchen iPad.
Oh, yes. So that
you can have all of your recipes on there, and
I already use mine a lot in the kitchen, and I just have one of the stands, one of the chill bed stands, and I just stand it up there as I'm cooking. But the problem is that it does get, you know, your hands, and it turns off, so you got to keep touching it to turn it back on. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
But that's a great idea. So that's this old iPad. Number one choice is giving it to a significant other. Number two, nightstand. Number three, media remote. Number four, home remote. Number five, cookbook.
Digital cookbook.
There you go.
And actually, I didn't really say it in a first option to hand it down. One of the greatest things you can do is hand it across, I guess not down, to a tech-intimidated parent.
Ah.
Because the iPad is so simple and so hard to really mess up.
Mm-hmm.
That if you have a tech intimidated parent, as I do, I gave my 70 plus year old mother an iPad and she loves it. This is her first computer ever, and it doesn't bite. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't make her feel stupid. It just does what it should do.
Wow.
It's a really great introduction to computers for people that are from a generation before computers.
Super. Well, those are good advice things, Rick.
Advice things, indeed.
appman.tv has Rick's other advice, and we'll have links to all of these things on our site. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me online now, Lindsay Smith, who is a regular on the show, but hasn't been too regular. You've been too busy lately, Lindsay.
Oh, I was sipping margaritas in Mexico, Steve. Every geek has got to get away.
Now, I saw you in Mexico. It looks like you're... Now, I saw a picture on Facebook of you on a zip line.
Uh-huh.
With a... You were wearing a helmet cam of some sort?
Yes, I had the GoPro Hero 2 on my head. And I was doing all sorts of crazy things with that on my head, pretending like I didn't look like an absolute geek while I was wandering around Mexico with it on.
You looked like a geek.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to be cool with one of those things. It was using the head strap, and that's never a good thing.
Now, did it work well for you? Was it fun?
It was so much fun, and I love the footage that I got. We were at a place called Xelha, which has snorkeling and zip lines and cliff jumping. So the cool thing about this GoPro is it comes with a waterproof case that is really quite durable. So I was able to zip line right into the water with it. So I got above water shots and below water shots. And as well, I was able to cliff jump with it on. Now, I had to hold on to it while it was on my head. But
you've got a blog on your website with a picture of you with it on your head and a helmet. Now, does that have like video? Have you posted video of it yet?
I haven't posted it yet.
Why not?
Because I actually just bought, I was finding the video was bogging down. I have a MacBook Pro and all my video was kind of bogging everything down. So I went and bought a new iMac and I'm just in the middle of transferring everything, getting that all set up. And that was just a couple days ago. Yeah.
That's fun. Are you enjoying the iMac?
I am. The screen is quite large and I think that's such a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. It is. Well, I've used an iMac for a long time. I have a smaller one than you. I only have the 21 inch, but I like it. I think you got the 27, didn't you?
I think so. Yeah, it's pretty darn big.
It's pretty darn big. Now, you know what I just did though is I installed a SSD as my boot drive in it. So I've got the 1 terabyte drive in it. I removed the media drive, which you can do, and I installed an SSD.
And are you finding? And for those people out there that don't know what an SSD is, Steve, what
you
does
go
that
ahead.
Mean to the, it's a solid state drive, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So 128 gig drive. So what happened is I've loaded all of my operating system and all of my applications onto this drive. It took a little bit of time. I had to take it into Mac Station to do it because it's not like doing it on a MacBook. It's there's a you know, they got to take the whole computer apart. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big, big difficult job, but it's difficult enough that I didn't want to do it. Plus, putting the screen back on, making sure there's no dust on the screen and stuff like that with a MacBook, with the iMac, that's a big deal. So that's probably best done in a shop. But and then I had a few issues transferring my user over. But once I did that, and Apple's migration assistant finally worked once I kind of thought it out clearly, I reinstalled the operating system and the SSD, and man, is it fast. It boots from cold, just from plugging it in and turning it on, in about 20 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, that and applications pop open like they're on your iPad.
Ah, well, that's a huge benefit.
Yeah,
maybe I should have ordered that. I didn't go for the solid state.
You can go aftermarket with it. You can go aftermarket. You can add it.
Okay. You know.
Right. What you want to do is, because this one is going to seem so fast compared to everything else you've had before, wait until it doesn't seem fast anymore, because it'll take a couple, it'll take a month or two, and then you can install the SSD. Because if you do it right now, it's wasted, because you're going to be getting the double benefit. So wait until it seems like it's going slow, and then do it.
I think that's good advice.
It is good advice. That's me. I'm Steve, the computer advice guy.
Good advice guy. Yeah.
Good advice
guy.
By the way,
I just measured my screen, and yes, it's 27 inches.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're doing that.
I know. While you're talking, I'm a multitasker.
If I hear you typing away while you're on the show, you're going to be in some serious trouble, woman.
I would never do that to you.
Now, you know what we haven't done for a while is we haven't talked apps, and I like talking apps with you. So I've asked you to give me a couple of apps. So what apps have you got for me?
Well, Steve, how good are you at getting the people in your home to do your chores or to take care of the house?
To be honest, we've got a fairly equitable division of labor.
That's good.
Yeah, I do the cooking, and Shan's much better at cleaning, so she does the cleaning, she does the vacuuming, she does the bathrooms. I mess all those up.
That's equitable? You do cooking and she does all of the dirty work?
She does most of the dirty work. See, the thing is, when I clean the kitchen, I'm a really good cook. And so I cook well. And she's got me trained to clean up much better as I cook, which I didn't used to do. But the bottom line is, when I clean, she comes back and cleans afterwards anyways, because it's not good enough. And that isn't that. I know a lot of guys out there think that's strategy, and it is a good strategy to do, but it's not strategy in my part. I just don't see the dirt.
You just don't see it. All right. Well, maybe this next app that I'm going to talk about would be more for Shannon to introduce into the family than you. You may not like it. It's called Chore Hero,
mm-hmm.
and there is a free version and there's a paid version. I think the paid version is around $2.99, so $2.99. Gotta love that about apps. Hey, opens up your world for pennies, I swear.
Micropayments,
so small, and lifetime value micropayments. But anyway, Chore Hero is an app where you can enter various chores around the house. So empty dishwasher, load dishwasher, clean bathroom, or if you want to get more precise, scrub toilet, scrub mm-hmm. Tiles in the shower, spray clean, you know, your sink. You get the idea. Anything you can think of about cleaning in the home, and you can assign it to different people. Or what I like even better about it is you can actually choose for it to assign it to people randomly in the house. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there are two children in our house no kid likes chores, but no. I'm finding that this is something that's making it a little bit more fun for the family to get involved in the sense that it's not one person saying, hey, you have to do this, and hey, you have to do that.
So it's dividing it by chance, which is good. I'm looking at the screenshots right now, and you get assigned points based on difficulty of task, and then it actually divides and tells who's carrying their weight within the family.
Yeah, so what we
that
did
That sucks.
Oh no, it's awesome.
I don't know.
What we did within our family, because you want to get buy-in from the kids, right? You know, when you just tell someone that they have to do something, they really resent it. But if we sat down with the kids and we said, you know what, we'd like to make this a group effort, and we'd like you guys to be involved in the types of things that you want to clean. Do you want to choose to be random, or do you want to do you want to always clean the toilet or always do this? And they said, oh, that would be so much fun. Let's make it random. And then I said, okay, well, do you think cleaning the toilet is harder than cleaning the tub or doing the sink or whatever? And it was so surprising. We had them pick out how many points each of the chores was worth. And for example, cleaning the toilet, which in my opinion takes 3 minutes if you're using the right cleaning supplies, they chose that as one of the harder ones just because they didn't like the idea of cleaning the toilet.
Okay.
So they got.
So you grab that and you get lots of points. Now, what's the difference between the paid and the free version?
The paid version allows you to categorize things in a bit more detail, and it allows you to add more than, I think, 3 family members at a time. Or more than one. It's been a while since I actually signed up for it. We've been using it.
It's a little bit more functional, but you can try it out for free, and it works on iOS.
Yeah, it devices. works on your iPhone device. Yeah.
So it'll work on the kids' iPods.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what we've done too is a lot of families now have tablet devices. So what we did was we actually just loaded it on our tablet device, and everyone kind of accesses it from there. But you can access it from your smartphones as well.
Chore Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's next?
Well, another one that a lot of people seem to be frustrated with, especially with using our smartphones so much, and data has become a huge issue. So most of us are on cell phone plans that have a limited amount of data that we're allowed to use each month. And I don't know if other people have experienced this as well, but when iCloud first came out, when I was using my iPhone, I went over data usage huge, big time, and I was so surprised. And then we also had an issue with our daughter in the house, because she went over data usage from using YouTube all the time when she was outside of a Wi-Fi network. So data usage is an app that will allow you to carefully track and monitor how much cellular data you're using and how much Wi-Fi you're using. And you can set it up so that you tell it when your billing period is, because most of us have, you just find out from your telco provider when your billing date starts, so you can actually just look at your bill for that or log in. I know Rogers, if people are on Rogers, they have a great online system now for monitoring that. So anyway, you set the first day of your billing period, and then you choose whether or not you'd like it to tell you an average of how much bandwidth you should be using per day, or if you just want it to track overall. So this gives you a really good idea of whether or not you're going to start going over your data usage, so that you can go, okay, today, what was different about my behavior that all of a sudden skyrocketed my usage going up? Was I on YouTube a little bit more outside of a Wi-Fi network, or was I doing something else did I download lots of apps outside of the Wi-Fi network? And you can just get a better idea of what's going on, and it will also alert you.
It'll do alerts, eh?
It'll do alerts before you get close to reaching the end, which is great because you're saving the money.
Then you can turn off your data if it's a couple of days, you could turn it off while you're on the road, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which is, I've done that quite a bit.
To make sure you're not going over.
Exactly.
And it also measures the amount of Wi-Fi usage, which is less important because typically speaking, you're not going to be using your smartphone and tap out your, if you do have a ceiling on your home internet. But it does tell you how much you're using.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting too. I've done some tests just to see, okay, I'm going to download an app right now, or I'm going to go on and I'm going to watch 10 YouTube videos, and you can actually get a feel for how much of your bandwidth you're sucking. So you kind of play around with it in the Wi-Fi area to see what different applications and things are causing that.
And it also tells you how much you're using. I mean, I think none of us really probably know how much data we use on any of our devices. This just gives you a really good idea. Now, it's not free.
It is.
99 cents, I see here on the App Store.
99 cents, yes.
And good. Okay, so that's a pretty cool one. You know what, Lindsay, we're going to take a quick break. You going to stick around? You got a couple more apps for me?
Yes, I do.
We're going to take a quick break. I have Lindsay Smith of lindsaysmith.com. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
We are back with Lindsay Smith talking apps. We've just gone through the chore one. I wonder if you could use the chore app. What was it called? Chore Buddy?
Chore Hero.
Da, da, da. I wonder if you could use Chore Hero for work to assign tasks. You know Why what? Not? You could probably use it in the office. You know, you think about, you know, the dishwasher in shared offices, or in offices where you've got a dishwasher and a kitchen and stuff like that. You could probably randomly assign the tasks. That would be great, even better than family, because it's much harder to get employees doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's true. It's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. And yeah, you could offer like incentives at work for people to get the most points.
Yeah, like you keep your job. That's the incentive. Okay, let's keep going.
I don't want to work for you.
Oh, well, good thing. What else we got?
Let's talk about a couple apps that have just hit on the mainstream and are just taking off like wildfire. And one of them is called Draw Something. Have you experienced that one yet?
You know, we've done a couple stories on it, been talking about it. I mean, it sold for $100 million or something like that to the folks at Zynga. Yeah, it's big news.
I know. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit, I don't quite understand why it's such a big thing. But I have to say, again, I have so many friends that are using it and the people in my family are using it. And they're absolutely loving it. And for people out there who haven't tried it out yet or haven't heard of it, it reminds me of like an online Pictionary where it gives you play other people virtually out there in the world. So you're not physically, like I could be playing, Steve and I could be in two different cities and we could be playing this game back and forth. And what it does is it gives one person a word and you have to draw whatever that word is, like just like you do in Pictionary, and then it sends it over to the other person and they get to open up their app and try and guess it. And I've noticed you can play both live and just in delayed, where you send it to the person and it just sits there until they're ready to pick up their phone and make a guess. And you can play multiple people at the same time, which is kind of cool.
Yes. And it's not a strategy game where you're trying to beat the other person. It's cooperative. You're trying to make it so that they recognize. And people are getting into these drawings. So basically you're given an assignment to draw a dolphin, and you draw the dolphin and the other person has to guess. And it's the number of guesses they have, kind of like Hangman, how good a job you've done, right?
Yeah, and then it also gives you the opportunity to, or not the opportunity, but it gives you letters that are within the answer. So you kind of have a set number of letters to try and guess with, which was a little bit of a hint as well. And then also getting to just on the idea of, is it free or paid? You can get the full version for $1.99. But what's interesting is all that really does is take out the ads.
It adds more colors too, doesn't it?
Well, not very many, if it was. I looked and I was like, this isn't really much of a difference.
Okay. Now, and then if you do a search online, I found bestofdrawsomething.com. Some people are doing just real pieces of art.
Yeah, I know. That was actually one thing that really surprised me, is the level of detail that people go into when they're drawing these things. Like someone drew Obama the other day and I was like, it was like a 5 minute, you're watching live and it's like a whole 5 minute excursion where they're coloring things in and the detail. And I'm like, wow, this is impressive.
See, I don't know if I want to play because I am artistically quite challenged and I know I wouldn't do a very good job. So I see the appeal for others.
Maybe that's why I don't like it either. My drawings aren't very good. I can do stick men.
Yes. Yeah, that's about it. I think, you know, if we had, instead of draw something, if we had a game that was like a Hangman type thing or you know, 20 questions, that would be a little bit more up my line. I'm more into words and that sort of thing than pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nevertheless, it is a phenomenal success.
Yes. Huge success.
So we won't be playing Draw Something. You're not going to become my new Draw Something buddy.
No, but actually, do you know what's funny is if you find yourself playing me online, it's not me. Someone else in our family has decided to sign me up so that they can have two accounts and play more often. Uh-huh. I don't know why. So I have all these people that think that I'm playing them and I'm not.
Who is it?
Nels.
Wow.
I know.
Did he ask your permission first?
No. I just saw my picture on there and I'm like, why am I drawing with these people? And he's like, and I'm like, do they know it's not me? And
he just starts laughing. Does he purposefully make you lose?
I don't know.
You might suck at it. And he might, whenever he has got a tough one, he might do it under you.
I think I don't know what's going on there, but yeah. So I'm on there, but I'm not really on there.
I think counseling's in your future.
I know.
Okay, what's the last app?
Okay, so we've talked lots about Instagram, right? That is the picture social site. Well,
A billion dollars worth of site,
yes. So Viddy, V-I-D-D-Y, is like the new Instagram, but with video. So I was just introduced to this in the last couple of days, so it's fairly new to me too, but I think it is so cool. What you do is you load it on your phone, so you download the app, and then you follow your friends the same way you do on a lot of apps, where you'll look for all your friends on Facebook and Twitter that are using it, or you can invite new friends to see it. And then you get a nice stream of the people that you've chosen to follow. So you can follow your friend's video. And then they also have featured videos where you can see kind of like streams from famous actors and celebrities and things like that. And instead of it just being a simple photo, you're actually uploading video. And I think video is just the new way to go.
And they're edited videos. They're not just raw video that you're shooting with your camera, but people are actually spending. It's kind of like a YouTube, but yeah. But YouTube versus, it's got the streamed and the subscribing capabilities of the of Instagram.
Yeah, it's just, it's absolutely phenomenal. So like I said, I haven't had a chance to play around with it too much right now. But I love the concept of it, and I like what I'm seeing so far in terms of being able to just get access to video.
I tell you, I've been doing more video on my iPhone now in the last couple of months. My last couple of trips that I did, I was down in San Francisco a little while back, and I did an Alcatraz tour, and we videotaped that all with an iPhone. And then I was just down in New Orleans last week, and listening to the street bands, and I recorded some of them. I don't know what the right situation is, but I just wanted to show people what it was like just walking around the French Quarter and how there was all these just jazz bands just playing, right? And I videotaped them, and I'm amazed with the quality that I got out of the iPhone. Every time I do it, I'm amazed. I guess I shouldn't be amazed anymore, but this would be ideal. I could have shared that experience right away.
Absolutely. And yeah. I'm noticing a trend with my own behavior, too. And I know that you and I tend to be early adopters in this, but I'm really seeing that I prefer to get an experience through video, consume through video, and as well share through video. When I say, like, when we were in Mexico, we went on a catamaran trip where we were doing some snorkeling. I had another underwater camera that I used. It wasn't the GoPro. It was a different one. And I started, as we're snorkeling, I have this photo out, and I'm taking pictures of the fish, and I'm taking pictures of out of the water and in the water. And about halfway through the snorkeling trip, I'm like, why am I not videoing any of this? And so I started taking videos with it because the camera had HD video capabilities. And it was phenomenal. It was just such a better experience. And when I came back to the room afterwards and I'm looking through the video and I'm looking through the photos, I really was glad that I took the time to do the video instead.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lindsay Smith, digitalliving.com. LindsaySmith.com is her website. Also, Massive Media. Thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thank you, Steve.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sounds good.
May is photo month at London Drugs, so consequently May is photo month here on Dotto Tech. And Nikki Castengate is the production manager at London Drugs of their photo department. How are you doing, Nikki?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Well, thanks for coming. I'm good. Thanks for coming in. May is photo month. Is that like an international designation, or is this something London Drugs just decided?
Well, I believe it's actually national. It's not just for London Drugs.
No. Really? Well, that's something you're going to take advantage of, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely we will.
Now, I want to talk to you. You guys got some courses coming. First of all, you've got some software that you've developed to help people managing their photos, and you've got some courses to teach us to do that. So why don't you fill me in on that whole process?
All right. Well, our courses are going to start on Saturday, May 12th, and we are going to start with photo books with our Home Edition software, which you can either download right from our website, londondrugs.com/photolab, or you can go into a store and get a CD, and we'll give you the software on the CD that you can download to your PC.
You can install software on your computer using a CD?
Yes, you can. I know it seems a little archaic.
I haven't done that in so long. I might do it just for old time's sake.
Well, it depends on how computer savvy you are. Some people like to have a CD that they take home with them rather than trying to download something from the website.
Seems like a lot of trouble. So the software, what's your software called?
Home Edition software.
Home Edition. And what does it include?
The Home Edition software includes ways to be able to make photo books, calendars, greeting cards, Canvas gallery wraps. We actually have a new version coming out within the next week where you'll be able to do magnets. You can do bookmarks. Have more calendar sizes.
So tying into all of the different photo gifts and the photo gifts. Now, in the past, I think people, if they wanted to do a lot of this stuff, they would go into the store and actually do it at one of the kiosks,
yes.
Right? So is this replacing a lot of the different functionality that used to happen at the kiosk?
It's not replacing it. It's just in addition to that. Okay. If it's
more
convenient.
A lot of pressure sitting at a kiosk trying to decide on what pictures go in what month type thing.
You can, and it's a time-consuming process. And this way you can start it on a Monday, work on it again the Sunday. Yeah. You can leave it for a month or two, come back to it. It can be as long or as short of a process as you want.
So the course starting on May 12th, are they all you've got a couple of weeks of courses happening. Are they all the same, or are they covering different topics?
No, we are going to cover different topics. Saturday, May 12th and Saturday, May 19th, we're going to be covering photo books. We're going to do it twice a day at every single store.
At every single store?
At every single store. So just swing in and find out what time the courses are going to be held, and you can sign up for a spot. There's no obligation.
Okay. And how are you like parceling off part of the photo department to do this?
We do have a home edition kiosk on site at every store. Okay. And some of the stores that have a little bit larger of a footprint will actually have a laptop set up to one of our large screen televisions. So if they have, 5-10 people there, they can actually every customer can actually see what's going on.
Okay, so they're going to learn how to design their own calendars and maybe get some ideas for making gifts or
absolutely absolutely. We start with photo books. We're going to do greeting cards on Sunday, May 13th and Sunday, May 20th. Those ones will be three times a day, probably about 15-minute intervals. And then on Wednesday, May 16th and Wednesday, May 23rd, we're going to do calendars twice a day.
We're going to do calendars. So what sort of thing am I going to learn? I guess photo books is the most complicated of that whole process, isn't it?
It can be. Honestly, with calendars, you can put a picture on every single day if you want.
Really?
Yes. That's a lot of pictures.
I know this. That would be 365 pictures.
Very good. Plus the pictures that you could put on the top of the calendar.
377.
But you can put multiples on the top as well.
More.
Lots more.
So is that okay? Let's go back to the photo books again, because I like the idea of the photo books. I think one of the things that people might hold them back from actually purchasing photo books is when you print a single photo, it's not a very big commitment.
Correct.
When you decide to print a whole book, it's a big commitment, and every photo's got to be done right, laid out right, color corrected to look good. And so I'm always concerned that I'm going to have one really crappy picture in the middle of my book. And even if people don't, it's only one picture, but it's going to spoil it for me. So how do we make sure that the book is excellent?
We take some of that away. We take some of the concern away from you because we do color and density correct every single image.
Okay.
So all we're asking of you, or all you need to do, is organize all the pictures that you want into one file on your computer.
Okay.
That's really all you have to do, or onto a media drive.
Now, do we do a little more creative work with the photo books? I mean, am I captioning the photos and doing that kind of stuff?
It can be as easy or as complex as you want it to be. You could do one image per page. You could do 30 images per page. It's really as creative as you want to be with it.
And you've got all the templates and layouts.
Absolutely. And you can do your own templates.
Okay, so how long does it take me to learn to do that?
We are doing half-hour sessions to start, but if you ever have questions, you can come in and have a discussion with us. You can make your books on our home edition kiosk. Again, it really is something you want to do at home because you can't save from our home edition kiosk, but you can save as much as you want when you save it onto your computer at home.
Okay, and the types of books that people can print, you've got the whole range, everywhere from softcover to hardcover.
And we're releasing more hardcovers, and we're actually coming out with a 12x12 photographic album, which is really impressive to see. This is an actual lay flat album that you can see right from the edge of the page all the way to the spine, as opposed to the coffee table.
Full bleed.
Yes, absolutely.
Of the photos. And what's the range of price for the
The soft cover photo books start at $9.99.
Okay.
And our photographic 12x12 album goes up to $119.99.
Okay.
Plus $3 per extra page on that larger format.
And is there any benefit to printing multiple books at the same time? Like, what I'm thinking is, okay, if I'm going to print off one book, give it a real good look over, and then decide that might become gifts for the family, and then I can reprint it and once I know that it's perfect.
Yes, we will offer discounts. Definitely.
Definitely. Multiple copies.
And especially with calendars, too, because a lot of people don't just want to do one. They want to do 50 or they want to do 70, and we will definitely talk to you about discounts for that, too.
Now, you've got this crazy idea of sending paper greeting cards to people.
People still do that.
Oh, man. I just don't get it. Because the online ones are so convenient, and typically you can have dancing mice on the online ones, which...
This is true, but this is something in the mail, as archaic as it may seem.
It's kind of exciting to receive.
It is kind
and you
of
can put a check
receive.
Inside, which would be exciting, too, as opposed to an email money transfer, which is just so clinical.
Well, we can put a gift card inside too.
Yes.
So, now, and we have two different kinds of greeting cards that we offer. We offer the archival bond that we do at our press lab, or we have one that we do on our photographic machines at every single location.
Okay, so what's the difference between archival bond and the photographic? Tell me what that
is. Photographic paper is true photographic paper. So okay. You're actually getting the colors, the density, the
so
brightness
to it. So it's for a real photo, yeah.
Absolutely. Whereas the archival bond is more of more towards a paper stock rather than a photographic page.
Is that better if you're doing like higher volumes? Is it less expensive?
Absolutely.
So things like wedding things, or if you're doing 100 or 150, that's going to be better than doing the one or two off greeting card that might be a birthday card or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. A birthday card, an invitation, something on a smaller level, Father's Day, things like that.
Okay, so that's pretty cool. And again, the course for that is a little bit shorter, is it still a half hour?
That one's only about 15 minutes, and it's really what you want to learn, because we can go through text, we can go through templates, we can go through frames.
Okay, and finally, calendars. It seems a strange time of year to be thinking about calendars, Nikki. You should have your calendar by now.
You can start our calendars on any month of any year.
Oh, that's going to mess people up. Some people, it's like the school year. They're going to go to that full year school year.
Yes, I heard about that.
Which could be difficult.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in school anymore.
yes. I wish I am again, but it doesn't really matter. So this is happening for three consecutive weeks, May being photo month, all of these courses. The software is free. You can download it and maybe familiarize yourself with it beforehand. But definitely, we'll have all of these dates posted on our website.
Wonderful.
And I think I might be interested in taking the photo book course.
Wonderful. And we have some added incentives starting on May 11th. Our flyer offers 15% off of our Home Edition products.
Oh, anything that the software is free, but anything that we buy from the Home Edition.
You will give you 15% off,
so
absolutely.
So some new mugs for me, because I like the mugs.
The mugs are on sale right now.
Oh, are they?
They're on sale right now.
Oh, mugs are fun. It's always fun having your face sucking coffee out of your head. It's a good thing to do. Or your dog's head, or whatever head you want.
Whoever you happen to like.
Nikki Castingate is the production manager at London Drugs. We will have links to all of these courses on our site. Or, of course, go to londondrugs.com. It's all referenced there as well. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
And we have run out of time for this week here on Dotto Tech. I need to thank all my guests, Nikki Castingay, Lindsay Smith, Rick Yeager, and Paul DeMera. Thanks for coming in. We didn't
have
too much time for you today, but we next week. Next week. And Art, is it good to be back in the saddle?
Oh, Steve, I kept that seat warm for you. You don't want to. Don't ask who I got the seat keeping warm for you. But that seat, there has been a bum in that seat just keeping it warm for.
Well,
ever
I know
since
that
you
you've made good use of your Wednesday nights practicing bowling.
Well, yeah.
since
obviously comedy's not paying well, radio's not paying well.
Are you doing many comedy gigs?
Yeah, you can actually catch me tomorrow night at the new Yuck Yucks at the Century Plaza Hotel in the basement. It's at 12th
Is that the
and
new
Canby.
One? Yep. Now, have they refurbished it? And then when they say new, because I went back there a while back, and I think I went there like three years ago.
The new room is beautiful. They gutted the old Jolly Alderman, if you remember that bar.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they converted it into a like comedy club only kind of room.
And are you going to kill him?
Absolutely.
You're going to just what's the basis of your routine these days?
Oh, it's
what do you riff on?
I talk about working with this guy who's got this huge ego. I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to give it too much of it away. But I think you know
who you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah,
our boss Stu, right?
So we only have one request for you this week on Dotto Tech. Drop by the website and enter with a chance to win the Slingbox. We're giving away Slingbox Pro HD. And Art had an inside track at winning it, but now he doesn't. Sorry, Art.
I could have won it last week, couldn't I? Before you came back.
You could have entered any of the contests while we were podcast only and won, but you weren't listening. We'll be back next week with more Dotto Tech. Thanks, Paul DeMera. Thanks, Art Factora. I'm Steve Dotto. See you next week.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.